God for blessing this church with. Tonight, if you would, I'd like to turn your Bibles to Proverbs in chapter 20. Proverbs and chapter 20. Tonight, we're going to be looking into our 11th lesson in the church covenant. And it's in the third paragraph, next to the last line. It says, we also vow, in the first part of it, it says we engage to avoid all, to abstain from the sale of and the use of intoxicating drinks as a beverage. You know, it seems to me that it's getting more prevalent in realms of churches. I wouldn't say in Christianity, because I don't believe Christ was guilty of the things that we are told to abstain from. So if Christ didn't do it, Christians are not supposed to be doing it either. But today's society seems to be that there's so much emphasis on just getting along with people, being socially accepted with everybody. You know, I've heard people say, well, what's a little beer or what's a little drink going to harm anything? I saw something not too long ago that absolutely shocked the socks off of me. Now, I would ask you this question. What would you think of your pastor or his wife sitting in an open restaurant scene around a wet bar with a champagne glass or something like that in our hands? What would you think? Today, that is something that's accepted in a lot of different realms. And I just couldn't imagine it. I just can't begin to fathom what would cause somebody who is supposed to be Christ-like to engage in the things of the world just to be accepted of the world that they might win them. You know, you can't come down in that level and win somebody. You can't drop into sin. You can't begin to wallow in sin just in order to try to gain somebody that you're hoping for. It's always a dangerous thing to pick up a bottle. I don't care who you are. I don't care how strong you think you are. It's a dangerous thing to begin to pick up a bottle. One thing I've dealt with in my pastorate is being called to homes where intoxicating drinks, and I'm not talking about in our church family, but just in the public in general. You know, a pastor is not just a pastor in his church, and many times he's a pastor in other areas. And I've been called on several different occasions to deal with the aftermath of intoxicating drinks. The reason why that we are supposed to abstain from intoxicating drinks as a beverage is because it's harmful to us. It's degrading. It does things to our minds which causes us to lose conscience of our reality. I mean, all you got to do is go back to Noah. You go back to Lot. You see these men who indulged in those intoxicating drinks, and what happened? Great sins begin to come forth. Lewdness and ornery-ness. These are just simple things that men need to stay away from. And the reason why they need to stay away from them because they cause infractions in our minds. But in Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 1, the Bible says wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. And whosoever deceived thereby is not wise. Our most gracious and divine Heavenly Father, Lord, tonight as we bow in Your presence, we do thank You so much for the day which You've given us. We thank You, dear God, for blessing us throughout the services this morning. The great number that was with us, we're thankful for that. But also, Lord, we're thankful for the good number who's out with us tonight, our church family. Lord, we pray that You might bless them tonight. Lord, I pray that You cause our young church members To be aware and mindful of the dangers that come from drinking. Lord, I pray that You'll help me to bring it out in such a way that it cannot be misunderstood. Lord, Your Word is final. Your Word is absolute. And even here in Thy book, Father, we have already read that these things can make a mockery out of us and make us raging. Lord, I pray tonight that You'd bless Thy Word. Lord, may we grasp hold of it. May we vow that vow together again, Lord, that we will not use intoxicating drinks as a beverage. Lord, I pray that You bless us and again draw this family close together in love with one another. Lord, protect us. Protect us from those who would mean us harm. Lord, may Your name be lifted up. May Your name be praised. We ask all these things in Your Son's precious name, Jesus Christ, and amen. We'll read on in chapter 23 of the book of Proverbs, where we see here in verse 20, the Bible says, "Be not among winebibbers, among riotous eaters of flesh, for the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags." In verse 29, the Bible goes on to say, "Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babbling? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes?" Here's who it is. "And is not all these things a part of drunkenness? They that tarry long at the wine, they that go to seek mixed wine," that is your alcohol, stronger alcohol. "Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth its color and its cup, when it moveth itself aright." We'll go on over and read one more text in the book of Habakkuk. Habakkuk in chapter 2. And look at verse 15 with me. "Woe unto him that giveth his neighbor to drink, that puttest thy bottle to him, and makest him drunken also, that thou mayest look on their nakedness." You know, there's something about the Word of God that if we would just pay attention to it, we would understand exactly what goes on when we're told to abstain from this or that. The word mocker in verse 1 of chapter 20 of the book of Proverbs, it means to scorn or to talk big. What happens with a man when he gets a little bit of liquor in him? He begins to be 10 foot tall and bulletproof. He has a little bit of kryptonite about him. And as I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about the Word of God and how real it relates to humanity today even. God's Word is true. God's Word is sure. I mean, you look upon a drunkard today, and like I said, I've dealt with this in different occasions where I've had to come upon a scene of a man and his wife and children in a home where he was drunk and belligerent and just mean and cruel. That's what that'll do to you. And it brings heartaches to families. And there's a reason why that we ought to abstain from such stuff as that. Listen, by nature, strong drink is a mocker and a deceiver. In Proverbs 20 and 1, it promises joy, but brings sorrow. And we see that right here. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. And whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Listen, you be wise to stay away from these drinks that cause intoxication, because they, as I've said already, they bend the mind to such a degree that you do things that were not necessarily your norm. I mean, when the Bible speaks about the fact that woe to that one who gives strong drink to his neighbor to see nakedness, I mean, folks, that's just the very truth of the matter. What happens in a lot of bars is that very fact. Men will have drunken a lady, or they'll drunken one another, and it's all for the same sin of fornication. And they get this from drinking and from alcoholism. I know, I've seen it. I've seen how it works, and I've seen what it does to men who are in their normal sense, or when they're away from the strong drink, they're good citizens. But the very moment they begin to indulge in that one little thing, that one thing that they can't get away from, other sins begin to compound. Other drugs even begin to be intermingled with that strong drink. I've seen it, folks, and I've seen it in action. I've been to the homes of people who are on drugs who cannot get away from it, and it all started with just a little social drink here and there. It all started with just wanting to be accepted with your friends. The Bible says it's a mocker, folks, and it is a deceiver. And it causes you to be enraged. And that is the word we get out of the Hebrew. When we look at the word raging, it means to be tumultuous. Is that not what happens when men are drunken? There's a reason why God's Word, all the way through it, it gives us good advice. And the reason why we have it in our church covenant is because God's Word says we need to stay away from such stuff as that. Wine, strong drink, is a destroyer. Liquor is a destroyer of reputations and characters. It's a destroyer of lives and homes. And I want you to think about that for just a moment. It is also a destroyer of nations. You know, one thing that we see very, very strongly in the Indian nations, and we had an Indian here some time ago. And he was talking about this one fact with me. He was bent on going to be there to be a missionary to them, because alcoholism has ruined their nation. Alcohol has raised their people. And it all started with just one drink. You know, I would advise you young teenagers, never begin to take that intoxicating drink just to be seen. Never do it just to be accepted of your peers. Listen, that is the one thing that will bring destruction to young teenage girls. It's another thing to bring destruction to young teenage boys. And it is that which will ruin your life forever and forever. Many are the lives that have been ruined because of alcohol. I'm talking about at a teenager's life. I'm talking about at young ages. I remember growing up, I mean, it was an odd thing to see, but listen, I remember some teenage boys that was older than I was, and they was all one night out, and they was all drinking, and they all got in trouble one night, bad trouble. And some of these boys had never done anything like that before, but they wanted to be accepted. That's what happens when you try to just be accepted. Listen, you got to understand something. Strong drink, illicit drugs, and all these things, marijuana. I mean, I could go on and on and on. They are destroyers because, first of all, they mess with the mind of man. They distort. They distort and they destroy. That's a reason why God's people need to be sure of it. Moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas need to be sure that we are the perfect example to our grandchildren and to our children. We don't want to be an example that says, well, this is all right. I'm just going to do this little bit. It's all right. Folks, it's never all right to pick up a bottle of beer and begin to drink it. It's never all right to pick up a bottle of beer and begin to drink in front of your children or grandchildren. It is that which will it'll ruin your reputation as a person. You know, you got to be careful also. My goodness, you got to be careful with your reputation. Brother Jim was conveying a thing with me not too long ago.
or something that happened to him, and it's happened, and I believe it's probably happened to a lot of people. But you got to be careful about your own reputation. I used to haul men to work all the time. We used to ride back and forth, and there was a time when I got in the car one time, and I was riding with them, and they wanted to make a pit stop. You know where they wanted to stop at? It's called the Golden Rail over in Huntington, or there, Catlettsburg across the river. You know what? That was one of those times when I thought, oh my goodness. And I mean, if I could have stopped the car and got out and walked out and walked on home. And I sat there in that car that evening and I thought, man, I'll never ride in this car again. You know why? Because I had a reputation I wanted to be careful about. I didn't want to be known as somebody who would leave the job and go find the nearest bar to get drunk and to come home that way stoned out of your mind. Listen, I didn't want that reputation. I don't think none of us want that. Listen, that means you got to be careful because it is a destroyer. It brought shame to Noah and resulting in a curse upon Ham, if you remember. It brought fornication to the house of Lot. And under that strong drink, Lot became the grandfather of his own children. That's a shameful thing. You know what? That's what alcohol can do to you, though. It can destroy your thought process and destroy your means and reasoning. Under the influence of strong drink, if you remember, the children of Israel began to dance around the calf, and they got so worked up that they all lost their clothes and they was dancing around naked. And then what happened? God cursed every last one of them. Strong drink. That's the reason why we have it in a... You know, I was asked one time, why do you have that? What's wrong with drinking a little social drink? God's Word's full of incidences where strong drink has ruined families. Strong drink has ruined the cities. And strong drink has ruined nations such as Israel at one time when they danced around the golden calf there in the book of Exodus. You remember it was the strong drink that Belshazzar used the instruments of the Lord's house. They were drunken with the cups of and the things that belonged in the house of God. They were drunken with those things. What happened to Belshazzar? Lord took him out. He was slain in one night. Listen, I want you to know something tonight. This is a true statement, and I'll tell you, you got to be careful about it. The church at Corinth, they were living in such rank sin that when it became time to take the Lord's Supper, they were all sitting around glutton and drinking to the point that they were drunk. You see what happens when you allow alcohol to enter you in such a degree that it distorts and destroys. The reason why that we are asked in the church covenant, and this is what I do, I ask everybody that comes into this body, I'll give them the church covenant, I'll ask them to read it. They'll read it in my presence. And I say, now, I want to know, do you agree? Is there anything you disagree with in that church covenant? Or can you agree with everything that's there? Because you're going to have to agree to it if you want to be a member of this body. They said, well, and everyone to a T has said, I agree with everything that's in there. Well, folks, if you agree with everything that's in there, you're going to abstain from the use of intoxicating drinks as a beverage. It ruins reputations. It destroys and maims lives. Listen, you can set a beer carton on your porch. You can have a beer carton laying in the back of your pickup truck or beer can. And you know what's going to happen? Somebody's going to see that and it's going to ruin your good name. You say, you're awful hard on that. I'm telling you, folks, it's dangerous. I know. As I've said, I've seen it. I've been in homes where I've had to defuse situations where a husband was so drunk that he was belligerent. The wife and children needed help. And listen, that's one thing that you've got to understand that can lead to that. It will lead to destruction. But now, secondly, I believe the Christians admonish, we promise to avoid drinking strong drink, first because it is wrong, and second because God admonishes us to abstain from its use. Period. Look with me, if you will, to Luke. The Gospel of Luke. And I want you to look here just for a moment at chapter 21 and verse 34. The Bible says here, take heed to yourselves. In other words, be careful. If you're one of God's children, you need to be careful here. He says, take heed unto yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that that day come upon you unawares. Where do you stand today as it concerns strong drink? Do you think it's all right to partake of that drink? Well, God's Word says otherwise. God's Word says being intoxicated or being in drunkenness would cause you to be caught unawares, according to His Word. In the book of Romans in chapter 13, if you go back there, Romans in chapter 13, you know, here's where a lot of times you lose people when you tell them that those little things that they're indulging in that nobody knows about, that you think nobody knows about. Hey, listen, I want you to know something. Not only does God know about it, but that little thing has a way of weaseling out from time to time. It's just one of those little slips, one of those little oops where, uh-oh, how'd he find that out? But look at Romans chapter 13 with me. And look at verse 11 to begin with. It says, and that knowing the time, that now is the high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy. Listen, these are things that God is telling us to stay away from. These things such as strife and envy and wanton and chambering. That chambering is just laziness and idleness of mind and body. Laying around and just getting sassier and sassier. Listen, he says that thing about drunkenness. Drunkenness is one thing that we've got to, as a God's people, to stay away from. Listen, anything that infuriates temper, anything that weakens the health. Listen, you say, well, how does it weaken health? Cirrhosis of the liver. I mean, you just find that out and you can see and you can understand. I watched a man die one time who had that disease, and it was an awful death and it was an awful thing to watch. Listen, alcohol destroyed his liver and also destroyed his mind. Alcohol will also inflame passions. You'll do things that you never would have thought was possible. Like I said, that's what happened to Noah. That's what happened to Lot. Listen, I'm sure they didn't set out to do the sin that they'd done. That alcohol blinded their minds and alcohol diluted their thought process to such a degree that they fell into passions that were destructive. Alcoholism leads to sorrow. It leads to contention and even death and destruction. And above all costs, it's to be abstained from born-again, blood-washed, blood-bought people of God. I think that is necessary. The third thing that I want to speak on tonight is I believe that God judges those who cause others to drink. And I've read that out of Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 15. He who gives his neighbor strong drink is a thief. Why you say that? Because he's robbing his neighbor of those things. Think about it. He starts him off on a road that leads to him losing his clothes off to the back. He takes him down that road that takes food from his family's table. How does he do that? By spending all of his money trying to get his next fix on alcohol. You ever see a man, do you ever see a real alcoholic? One who sits and takes a rubbing alcohol, or he takes Aquabella and drink it? Now, listen, I've seen it. I've witnessed it. It is destroying
You know the reason why he takes alcohol available? Because he cannot afford to buy a bottle no more. You know what happens then? His family is without. Where do you go from there? Where do you go? Listen, folks, I want you to know something. That's how alcohol can take ruin of you. As I've said it, I sat and watched a man once, and I didn't know what he was doing with that aqua velva bottle. I couldn't imagine what he was doing. Well, he was out stripping tobacco one day, and he had an aqua velva bottle. I said, "But that ain't going to help anything." I was thinking about how the tobacco, that old gummy tobacco, make you stink sometimes. Then I walked around the side of a bale of tobacco, and there he was, sitting on the floor, sucking on that aqua velva bottle. See what alcohol can do to you? Do you see the reason why that you are to abstain from strong drink? Seriously. It can ruin your life. You say, "Well, I'm just doing this little bit. It ain't nothing that's going to hurt anybody." I guarantee that it's already hurt your reputation. As a church member and as a Christian, it's already ruined your reputation. Children and grandchildren, whatever it may be, listen, they have already witnessed this and they wonder, the preacher preaches against it. Why are you doing it? There's already a ruin of reputation there. Listen, when you start off down that road of social drink, you're asking for trouble. When you're wanting to hang out with the boys, and in order to do so, you take one of those non-alcoholic beer bottles that looks like alcohol, but it ain't. You just want to be one of the guys. You know what's going to happen for long? That old Duels is going to change to a Budweiser. You know why? Because that's just how it graduates. That old Budweiser is going to change to a bottle of liquor. Listen, folks. I've seen liquor in action. And I ain't joking, it's not a pretty thing. It can turn men against their own families. It can turn brothers against brother. I've seen it in action. I have witnessed it firsthand. I want you to know something. Alcohol will destroy your life as an individual if you want to use it for an intoxicating drink and a beverage. Need to be careful with alcohol. The best way to do it is to abstain from it. Stay far from it. That's all stand for. Our most gracious and divine Heavenly Father, Lord, as we bow in your presence tonight, we do thank you so much for the day that you've given us. We thank you, Lord, for the good time we've had to be with your people tonight. Lord, for the wonderful time of prayer we had already. Father, I do pray tonight now that you would be with us, thy people. And Lord, you would be mindful to watch over our young members, Lord, and bring back this lesson to their thoughts and when they're ever encouraged to do that which is wrong. And Father, indulge in that drink that's going to bring destruction. Lord, I pray for our young people. You may cause them to be reminded how strong drink can bring destruction to their mortal bodies. Lord, I pray that you cause him to understand that it is destructive in every way. Lord, I pray tonight that you'll bless thy people. Help us, dear God, to be a witness to those young ones around us. And Lord, help us to be careful to maintain that witness. Lord, we'll not forget to give you all the honor and glory and praise. Now, Father, I pray, bless us, forgive us again for the sins done. Which in Christ's name, and amen. Have our song leader in our piano to come.
Well, we turn to 383. 383.